time today, but I'm going to tell you, this is important. Today, we have invited Kerr Street Mission to share with us their ministry. You've heard how they care for the vulnerable and the poor, the disadvantaged, the kind of ministry that is motivated because as Christians, they want to obey the scriptures and lovingly care for others. As a church, it is a legitimate question that we should be asking ourselves, which is this: is the care and the poor of the needy the responsibility of the church? I think we should ask that question. I am always encouraged to see Kerr Street Mission standing in the gap, and it's good to financially support these endeavors. But there must come a point where we as the body of Christ do not detach ourselves from the actual mission at hand, that we are called to minister to those in need and to get our hands dirty doing it. And it's a glorious thing. So I want to spend a few minutes looking at God's heart for those who have need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that we have received thus far, hearing about the work that is going on in this community. May your word speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. James 1, 27 says this: religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, the book of James tells us that there is this pure religion that is undefiled, that God the Father himself approves of. That should get our attention, shouldn't it? There's something that God approves of. Now, when you hear the word religion, it's definitely come to have a very negative connotation today. But religion in the intention of the scripture means the practice of your faith. It's what you do. Your religion is the output of what you believe, okay? So, that's what scripture means when it says that. What your spiritual condition is will be reflected by what you practice. So, you can say, I love Jesus, but if you don't care about anybody else, if you don't love your neighbor, do you really love Jesus, right? The output should show that. So the book of James is telling us that there is a way of living for Jesus that God finds pleasing, pure and undefiled. And that's twofold: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. In other words, to care for the vulnerable and needy, God is pleased by this, and to live a godly life. Let's not miss that second part. So, orphans and widows represent, in the scriptures, the highest level of vulnerability in a society. James was writing from this, people would have understood this. There were no social safety nets, and they could find themselves without any help, alone, and in real trouble, and no means to improve their situation. This idea extends into the Old Testament. It didn't start in the book of James. God's heart is consistent. Deuteronomy 15, 11 says, "For there will never cease to be poor in the land, needy in the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in your land." Orphans and widows, the poor, the needy, they're all categories of people who do not have the means to provide for themselves. And sadly, one of the greatest tragedies and realities is that the poor are often the most exploited in our society. God already knew this. Proverbs 14:31. "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." We need to realize that everyone doesn't have the comfortable life that we have. In fact, even hidden around us are many people quietly struggling, very likely even here, with deep sorrow and pain over their circumstances. And it's sad because a lot of people are driven to drugs and alcohol or become prisoners of mental health issues. And then they become very vulnerable to exploitation. And the cycle continues to repeat itself. But that is not the only outcome possible. And we must not resolve to believe that that's all that's ever going to happen. Because God can and does change people's lives. Do you believe that this morning? I'm not sure if you're awake yet. Do you believe that God changes lives? Because what about you, right? Did God get a hold of your life? Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So, the mistake that we can make, and I like how it was already implied in what Gary presented, is that we can think that this end goal is simply to improve people's conditions in this life. Now, James says this, we do need to care about people's physical needs. He says in James chapter 2, verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Sometimes don't just say to somebody, I'm going to pray for you. Do something about it and pray for them. By the way, what is our motivation for caring for the poor and needy? Well, it is because it is a gospel issue. It reflects our relationship with Jesus. The heart of caring for the needy and the poor is to improve their lives, but ultimately it is so they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And to spend, think about this, they might be poor in this world, but to spend eternity enjoying the riches of God's spiritual abundance. We can make everyone rich when they know Christ. See, consider the reality of our own spiritual condition. Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom you were all once lived in the passion of our own flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath. That is spiritual poverty. Like the rest of mankind, we were poor. We've all been poor. Spiritually poor. But it says this, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love by which he loved us, even when we were dead. You know, there is a kind of living where you feel dead. But spiritually, we were dead. We had no hope. No hope in and of ourselves. And we were dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, but made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God is so great in his mercy. And there is a great, this is a far greater poverty than financial poverty. Every one of us without Christ is poor. That's why Revelation 3:17 says, you say I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. We all need Jesus. Now, we are sinners, and we need to turn to from our sin and find forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who died for sinners on a cross, and that his blood shed covers over our sins and brings us into a right relationship with God the Father. This is important for understanding our motivation for caring for the needy. We were needy. We were hopeless. And you know what? Not one of us could say of ourselves, God did it all. God reached out to us. God rescued us in our hour of need. Christ rescued us. So we don't simply care for the poor and needy because it's a nice thing to do. And not only with the aim of improving their lives here. It is a gospel issue because caring for people represents what the gospel does for us. Christ came for the weak and the needy and rescued them. How do you think you can communicate the gospel to people in this community? When you care and love for them and show them Christ, you are sharing the doorway to the gospel. We reflect the love of Christ when we care for those who are vulnerable and needy. Why do you think 2 Corinthians 5 says this? We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of God, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. When we care for others, we're pointing them to Christ. But let me say this, we do need to tell them about Jesus, not just help them. We need to tell them about Jesus. Our religion, the practice of our faith, must match what we believe. And if we believe the good news of the gospel, we can't simply walk past people in need. By obeying God, we are keeping ourselves from being stained by the world, which lives to pursue selfish gains. So unstained, we obey God. We live for Christ. And here, very briefly, are the implications. While the need is great, and it is far from hopeless. You see, we have the privilege of serving on the front lines for the kingdom against the evils of this world, but it's not by your strength or my strength. It's through Christ. That's why Psalm 35:10 says, "All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and the needy from him who robs them? It's the Lord." And you know, I want to say this, we can't just have somebody like Kerr Street Mission come and say the poor exist, and we know that. We don't want to become detached. If we don't know what they need, it's our obligation to find out. Because the scriptures say this, Proverbs 29, "A righteous man knows the rights of the poor, and a wicked man does not understand such knowledge." Proverbs 19:17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." Now, when we care for the poor, we are doing the things that please God. Obviously, you can't loan God $5. It's all his anyway. But it's an illustration to help us understand that it pleases him when we care for other people. We want to help people. We want to help them know Jesus. And another thing to consider that actually is a gospel issue in caring for the poor, Ephesians 2:6 says, "He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." To raise the vulnerable and the needy and the poor is to reflect what Jesus did for sinners. First, we want them to have new life in Christ, and seeing them come out of their spiritual poverty, but also caring for them raises their dignity. And that is not just a noble thing, that's a godly thing. Because do you realize we were sinners, enemies, and when Christ saved us, we became adopted into the family of God. We became co-heirs of the kingdom. We're going to rule alongside Jesus. When we raise the dignity of others, we are communicating what Christ has done for us. 1 Samuel 2:8 says, "He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world." The business of helping the poor and the needy is not a Kerr Street Mission prerogative. It should be the DNA of every believer because it's a gospel issue, because it is pure and undefiled way of practicing our religion, our faith, because it means by which the light of the gospel shines here in Oakville and surrounding areas so that men, women and children of every capacity, of every age, of every generation, of every ability, socioeconomic status, may know Jesus Christ. That's what this is about, isn't it? We're not here to just have a good time. Well, let me tell you, there's no better place to be than here. You might not be thinking that right now at 11:50, but... And I'm going to say this. It is a most humbling thing to understand. It is not just that the poor and the needy need us. That's an arrogant view. The greatest reality is that we need them. James 2:5 says, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" If you want to know the joy of serving Jesus, oh, by the way, this won't be easy, right? But it will be fulfilling. And Christ and its and obedience to our Savior, then join us in seeking to show the love and the compassion of Christ to hurting people. On Friday, when I was taking Kim to emergency at the hospital, this something just haunted me. There was a woman walking out the door as we were walking in, and she was on the phone, clearly upset by whatever news she had gotten. And as she's walking out, you could hear her, and there's that tremble in her voice. And she says, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And I couldn't help thinking as I was walking past her, that's not our question. We don't even make that statement. We do know what we're going to do. We're going to love people with the love of Christ, and we're going to share Christ with people. We have the only answer to everyone's ills, which is the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. It is the real hope, and God has allowed us the privilege to do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a tall order. We know that as we hear these things, there is a call in the Scripture to practice our faith in a way that is pleasing to you. May you lead us. May you lead us in a way that is so clear, O Father. May we do what pleases you. Oh, I pray for Kerr Street Mission. Father, we pray that their coffers would overflow with an abundance of material riches so that they can care for the poor. We pray that their food bank would have so much food that they have to give it away to other places. Father, we pray that so many volunteers would just overwhelm them that they have to think hard about where they would find a place for somebody. Father, we pray that those who come in contact with them would come to know Jesus. But Father, we are praying that we as a church would not walk past these people in our community. Help us. Help us to honor you and to care and to minister to the poor and the needy and the vulnerable in a mighty way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Josh, this last song is